Welcome to the Immigration Hour. This is Charles Cook, your host, managing partner Cook Baxter. It's great to be with you again this week. I took last week off because I took my my wife, my daughter, who's my eldest child, and my one of my grandchildren, my 7-year-old grandchild, to for a trip, for a vacation, and we were excited to be back. It was a much needed one. I haven't taken one over a few days in quite some time, so it was nice to be gone for about 9 or 10 days. And it's going to be back. We went to a couple other countries, and every time I do that, I always come back to the United States and go, gosh, I'm glad I live here. It's a great place to live. And it's why we're talking today about the border, about immigration policy, and what I see as non-potential political change. First thing I really want to focus on is everybody, a couple weeks we talked about Title 42 and the end of Title 42 and how Republicans were fighting to maintain Title 42, screaming mostly at the top of their lungs and in court that if you ended Title 42, we would have a flood of people at the border. That was their mantra. And they told judges that, and some Trump judges bought it, and it wasn't true at the time, and it turns out that it was basically a complete lie. So here's what we're looking at. So Title 42 ended May 12th, something like that, sometime in May. It was May 12th. So prior to May 12th, the running 3-day average by the Border Patrol, this is from Border Patrol numbers, was close to 10,000 apprehensions a day. That's an insane number. If the Border Patrol is apprehending 10,000 people a day, that's 300,000 people a month, that's insane. It's an insane number. Now, what we do know, people were rushing to get into the U.S. while Title 42 was in place because Title 42 had no consequences. So you just got returned to Mexico. That was the consequence. But there was no legal consequence to getting turned around. And since the Biden administration was paroling people in certain circumstances that passed credible fear and or didn't, and your chances of getting in were great under Title 42. But once Title 42 went away, legal consequences came back. And legal consequences in our immigration laws since forever, but especially since 1996, are brutal. If you are at the border and you get caught by the Border Patrol, and you will be given an expedited removal if you're not Mexican, even if you are Mexican with fake documents. So you get an expedited removal and you're gone. You're back to Mexico or to your home country after you've been in jail for a while. And then you can't come back for 5 years. And if you come back within those 5 years, you have a permanent lifetime bar. I mean, these are serious consequences, especially when a lot of the asylum claims, frankly, are junk. They are. I've talked to a lot of people. I mean, most of them are, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. They're criminals or they just don't like the direction their country's going. I get it. I've traveled in most of these countries. I wouldn't like the direction they're going either. But that's why you change from within. You don't leave. And it looks like this is from the Border Patrol chief who hates Biden. So he tweets out all of the stuff that's going on every 3 or 4 days. And it looks like that as soon as Title 42 ended, immediately the apprehensions went down by 50%. So they went from 9,600 as a 6-7 day average to a 3-day average of 4,900, which included the last day on May 15th of Title 42. And then by May 19th, the 7-day average was 4,000. Then by May 22nd, the 3-day average was 2,900. May 26th, the 7-day average was 3,100. And May 30th, the numbers are 3,300. I don't have any data from this last month. But this is, we do. From June 5th, the 3-day average was, the total apprehensions was 9,000. So that's back below 3,000. So, wow, by ending Title 42, this is shocking because nobody in the press is reporting this. with breathless anticipation outside the border. Nobody's reporting that the number of apprehensions are people coming in basically are cut by 70%. Wow. Wow. People are waiting out of the country for their chance to come in using the CBP app. Wow. People are actually following the law as it exists to take advantage of, to try to use the advantage of the asylum laws correctly. Who would have thought that was going to happen? I don't know. Every immigration lawyer who does asylum cases knew this was going to happen. We told the press that was going to happen. But that wasn't a good story. You couldn't run a report on nightly news that said things are going to get better. Because the news, if it bleeds, it leads, right? So this is what's more bleeding than asylum seekers at the border lining up to come to the United States. Shocking, really, when you think about the press's irresponsibility in this. But, you know, we're not here to blame about the press. Plenty of people to do that. But if you do want to follow a really funny Twitter feed, follow the Border Patrol chief. Because this dude, he loves tweeting out everything they've done. One agent assaulted. You have no idea what that means. I mean, you think, oh, he got beat up. They could have just been touched. Apprehensions. I love how they're gotaways, approximate gotaways. They have no idea what that number is. None. How do they determine gotaways? That's a really interesting idea. How does the Border Patrol determine gotaways? I'm kind of curious about that myself. Because if they got away, I mean, does that mean that they saw them? What does that mean? Got away. And these were apparently supposedly spotted by the Border Patrol on camera. This is from the New York Post. You know if it's true, that evaded capture. That's what the folks at the New York Post say a gotaway is. Is there anybody with this that's not a nutcase, nutbag, anti-immigration group or newspaper that actually talks about gotaways? All right, Cornell. A border is directly or indirectly observed making unlawful entry is not apprehended, not returned back. So the Cornell, that's what there is. So 2,300 gotaways per the Border Patrol chief in the last 72 hours. So about 1,000 a day, which would be terrible. That'd be about 365,000 a year, but actually not that big a number, honestly, given what we're seeing over the decades. Apprehensions means they're caught, they're in the system. They found 3 pounds of meth. Don't say where they got that from. Probably the border from the actual ports of entry, one stash house and currency. They somehow seized $160,000 in currency. A little unclear. Again, the numbers are meaningless in the context of actual information. But what I found interesting, and if you're interested in border policy and border numbers, if you're not following Aaron Reichlin Melnick, it's at Reichlin Melnick on Twitter, you're crazy. Because Aaron has got, he's got all the best numbers. Aaron has all the best numbers. His most recent post I found wildly, I need to get him on the podcast here. He's testifying today in Congress at 2:00. So if you listen to this today, it's Wednesday, June 7th. You can listen to him testify at 2:00. He's the Democratic witness to listen to Chad Wolf, the chattiest wolf that there is. Talk about who knows what, that whatever it will be, it'll probably be wildly inaccurate. But this morning, Aaron tweeted about Robert Kennedy at the border. Now, Robert Kennedy he's a nutbag. The dude's a nutbag. He was at the border this morning outside Yuma, where he read thousands of immigrants across the border each week. True. You have to see with your own eyes. Okay, we've all seen the video. But it turns out that Kennedy claimed that, quote, most immigrants are never seen or heard from again. Literally not true. A complete falsehood. It's just a lie. Migrants overwhelmingly comply with obligations. In 2021, 75% reported as asked. And that was when it was almost impossible to report because ICE was closed. They were physically closed all of 2021, all of it. They were physically closed. So you had to call in, and they put a note on the door, call this number, a number which, by the way, they didn't answer, and which frequently their emails were full. I know, because I was doing this in 2021. Anyway, that's happening to the border victims. So the border apparently is, I don't know, not in crisis? In crisis? A little unclear, because we're seeing numbers going down. We're seeing numbers going down. Why? Well, it took the Biden administration forever to come up with policy decisions or policies. They did come up with them eventually, and they appear to be working, except now 20 different attorney generals from around the country are suing, suing the Biden administration and of course they're in front of Drew Tipton, lovely Drew Tipton of DACA fame. They picked the court they were in to challenge the parole program, which has dramatically reduced the numbers from key countries and will dramatically reduce those even more at a time when we need literally millions of workers in our workforce. Yeah, kind of crazy, right? Now, the thing is, I'm an immigration lawyer. Immigration lawyers aren't involved in this. We're not. Immigration lawyers don't file for the paroles. They're filed by U.S. citizens who want to help people who have relatives that want to come to the United States under the parole program. So it's really a interesting twist to the Republican governor of Utah over the last, there were different ones, who have wanted governors to have parole authority or the ability to get visas. Well, here's your chance. Have your citizens sponsor people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela come to the United States. Here's your chance. You can do it. Why aren't you doing it? Instead, you're suing to stop the program. Yeah, it doesn't really make a whole heck of a lot of sense, I don't think. I mean, I don't think it makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't appear to make a lot of sense, but it's what they're doing. So you've got the border appears to be much more under control. Now, by the way, you will hear Republicans say, you know, I'm a lifelong Republican until, you know, until Trump. Republicans would say, well, they don't have operational control. Operational control is defined by statute while Republicans had control of Congress, which Democrats didn't fix this, which basically says they stop everybody. Of course, we're never going to stop everybody. That's not how the border works. It's not going to happen. It's not freaking East Germany, people. And even in East Germany, they didn't have operational control of the border. So you've got that going for you. Not so it appears to be much better than it was. And I think it will get a lot better once these migrant centers get set up in Latin America. So at the end of the day, the border policy that the Biden administration has put into effect. Have I been talking this whole time and it's not being recorded? There we go. Then it might actually be working. So what's going to happen with this is, I mean, everybody knows only Congress can fix this. Only Congress has the opportunity to fix this. Only Congress has the ability to fix this. And I remain convinced that Congress will not fix this. They will not. They will not. They simply, despite the fact there's a, you know, an okay bill pending, I'd be fine with it. No, I don't think it's going to have a hearing. I don't. Because the crazies run the GOP and the GOP runs the House. And if the House is not going to pass it, the Senate's not going to touch it. And there you go. That's it for this week. Great talking, everybody, this week. Thanks for listening. The podcast is The Immigration Hour. I'll be back next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. We're posted, as everybody knows, on SoundCloud and everywhere else that you listen to your podcasts. If you ever want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us at www.immigration.net. My email is ccook, C-K-U-C-K, at immigration.net. And, of course, you can always reach us here at the firm if you have questions about your immigration case. Until next week, thanks for listening.